All right, everyone, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where today I am speaking with Mr. Wayne Bowers, who is going to talk us through and help us think through some very, very serious issues that have to do with life. And for some people, you could almost say death in one way or another. Very, very sensitive issue. And I appreciate you all for joining us and being ready to have the best in us that can help us, that can empower us to really hear what this is about, sexual abuse. Wayne Bowers, hello, sir, and how are you doing?
Thank you, Carl. I'm fine. Thank you, and thank you for inviting me on.
My pleasure. I appreciate you for joining us because, as I was mentioning, there is so much that has to do with sexual abuse, and there's so many things that we are aware of, but so much more that we are not aware of that goes into this. We think of just these two words, sexual abuse, and it's so easy to just tie into those two words and not think about what the ramifications, what is that all about? And so that said, if you could, Wayne, share with us your background and how you came to work in this particular field.
Sure. First of all, I would like to say, though my work is mainly giving support and referrals for people who have sexually offended, I never want to lose sight, and I always remind everyone that we must respect those who have been victimized.
Yes.
They are the ones who we must very much make sure that they are getting the help they need. And I think in the criminal justice system, many times they are neglected. So we respect them. We work with people who have been offended, who are survivors, and that's important. My reason for being in this work is just the simple fact that many years ago I had offended, and it was over a long period of time. I just could not get control of my life. And finally, after a second arrest, I learned of a treatment program in Baltimore at Johns Hopkins Hospital, directed by Dr. Fred Berlin. And what I was able to do there in a pre-sentence investigation, it still led to prison. I was able to have three different therapy groups during my prison time. And it seemed like each one of them just led a little further to me understanding my makeup and my behavior. Out of that, and then when I paroled, I went back to Baltimore and was in Dr. Berlin's program for five more years. I literally call that the best education of my life because it helped me to gain control, to understand, to empathize with others. And I saw such a need for this kind of assistance to gain control. And it told me that once I left prison, that I wanted to do something that would tell the story, that would help others. That I know one of the things I do when I'm introduced is I usually say we're in the work of sex abuse prevention. It just so happens we do it in helping someone who is offended. And our thought is if we can help them gain control of their life, we are preventing. We're helping somebody learn about their life and gaining control.
And
I've done this.
Go ahead.
Quickly about, I learned of CURE when I was still in prison, and I contacted their director, Charlie Sullivan. He said, you're coming to Baltimore, so they had their national convention in Washington soon after I got there. I met some of the people there, got involved with them. That was 1989. And one man had started an issue chapter specifically dealing with sex offense issues, and his name was Lauren Perry, and he started what is the organization I now direct called CURE SORT. And I got involved with him in 1993, even moved to Michigan that in 1996 to work with him, and unfortunately he came down with cancer and passed away in early 1997, and I have directed the organization ever since then.
That's commitment to the fact that you were willing to make all those geographical moves in order to help keep moving this mission forward.
Yeah, and I've actually moved again 11 years ago. I consider my mother to be one of my top supports. She was always so loving and forgiving and helped me through some very tough times in my life. My father became very sick and eventually died while I was in prison, so I wasn't able to be there to help Mom, you know, through a lot of very difficult times. So I told myself, someday, if there's ever the time that I need to help Mom out more, I'm going to do it. And 11 years ago, I moved here to live with her in Norman, Oklahoma. And I'm very blessed to say she now is 102 and doing quite well. But I know a lot of people think, my gosh, I've never seen a son do this kind of thing for his mother. But she did so much for me, and so I owe it to her, and I will forever. So
I appreciate you for paying her back to the extent that you're able to do that, because, of course, there are a lot of people who would not have. And so I appreciate what she did for you, and thank you for doing what you're doing for her now. And, you know,
something that
I noticed, Wayne, you mentioned that when people offend, that one of their challenges is finding some kind of way to gain control. And it is so easy for people who have never offended to assume that people who do offend do so simply because they want to, because of the pleasure they get out of offending. But you're saying that's not necessarily the case. There's something going on inside the person that almost compels them, drives them, pushes them to do what they're doing, and many times they really don't want to be doing it.
I think that's true. And one thing I would say that we need to keep in mind when we talk about anything in sexuality is that the sex drive is the number two drive that humans have next to survival.
Yes.
And so, unfortunately, it just gets out of whack. And rather than demeaning it and, making fun of it and making legislation that does things to, you know, try to correct it, unfortunately, we just don't do enough in the health department, you know, the health to help a person change. But take a look at all of the issues that have occurred this year in sexual harassment.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, power and control can be a major part of it, but also a lot of people have an addiction in this way, just like alcohol or drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a very large community of people that have S group, just like the 12-step program, that are helping. So, but you're right. I think a lot of people, it just becomes something they do and they can't stop it. Many want to stop it. They don't have the tools to do that. And fortunately, there are many types of programs now to assist in that way.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you hear what Wayne is sharing with us so far. I want you to please take hold of that. Think about that. Turn that over in your minds. Think about maybe some of your own sexual experiences, some of your own sexual desirings. Were there ever any times that maybe you engaged in sexual activity that you'd rather the public not know about? Could that be an indication of what Wayne is talking about? That super strong drive, that second strongest drive that humans have, the sex drive. Could it be that for some people, that drive becomes so strong that they literally lose control, want help in regaining control, just don't know how to go about it? That question should, at the very least, help us begin to have some compassion as we continue this discussion. So stay with us. Wayne Bowers and I will be back, and he'll continue to share some light on this so that we can have a better understanding and see why treatment in many cases would be a much better answer than just lockup. Stay with us. We'll be right back.